Amen. Love that song. It is well with my soul. Amen. All right. Turn to, in your Bibles, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. Normally, we did have a special music number, but for the sake of time, we're going to push that to this evening. And we do have a special evening that we're going to celebrate tonight together. I have 10 mothers out there right now who are going to be sharing just a quick thought on 10 different mothers in the Bible. So if y'all had forgotten that, mothers, be ready tonight, all right, at 6 o'clock. And so I think it's going to be a real blessing as we look at 10 different mothers in the Bible and truths that we can learn from them. So don't miss out on that. That's tonight. And of course, we'll have a couple special music numbers tonight. All right, looking forward to a wonderful day today, and I know you all are too. Also, want to remind the choir, no practice, seeing that it's Mother's Day, so no practice, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to be looking at this wonderful truth that actually we just recited together, this wonderful truth of the faithfulness of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are a good God, and Lord, as we step back and look into the Word of God, and just look at who you are. I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts. Help us to see a little bit more clearly of who you are, that we might give you honor and glory, that we might live in obedience to you. Lord, that we might be encouraged because, again, of who you are. Lord, I know that there are many people in our church family who maybe just have come out of a trial or facing a trial right now, or we don't even know what trials are ahead. And Lord, I just pray that you would encourage their heart through the truth of this verse, the truth of who you are. And God, I thank you that you love us. I thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. I'm asking you for your special power, your empowerment as I speak this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a young man, a paratrooper. He was learning to be a paratrooper, I should say. And before his first jump, he was given some very, clear instructions. His instructor said, jump when you're told, count to 10, and pull the ripcord. In the unlikely event that your parachute doesn't open, pull the emergency ripcord, and when you get down, a truck will be there to take you back to the airport. Well, the young man, he memorized these instructions. He climbed aboard the plane. The plane climbed up to 10,000 feet, and the paratroopers began to jump out, and it was his turn, and instructor said, jump, and the young man jumped, and he counted to 10, and he pulled the first ripcord, and nothing happened. He then pulled the second cord, and nothing happened, and he said to himself, oh, great, I suppose that truck won't be there when I get down there either. You ever had a bad day? The paratrooper, some of you got it a few seconds late. All right. That's called a bad day. You know, as parents, I believe we experience a lot of good days. And I also believe we experience a lot of bad days as well. You know, there are times, I'm just thinking back, in my own life as a parent, there's your small little girl or little boy comes and puts his arms around your neck, and he says, I love you so much, and your heart's just about to melt, right? And then there's those days when maybe you just had a child, and it's hard to explain, but, I've seen it now several times of, there's that special connection when the baby is handed to mom, kind of for the first time. It's just, you can't explain it. There's just this incredible love. There's this motherliness that comes over, I guess you could say. But then there are bad days, right? That same child who hugged your neck and said, I love you, is screaming in the middle of the grocery store, and you are worn out, you're tired, you're discouraged, and you've had enough. 48 hours after that baby is handed to you, you just want to sleep. And that baby just keeps crying and crying and crying. Anybody remember those days? That's the days that I'm in right now. I know some of you, you're in that time period. Some of you, you're like, praise the Lord, that's behind me. So as a mother, there are days of hugs and kisses and good conversations. Days when you can't think of anything better than simply being a mom. And then there are days which are hard, that are discouraging, that are heart-wrenching. Job chapter 14 and verse 1 states this. It's kind of it's a real verse. I'm not going to say it's a discouraging verse. It gives us the truth. And it says, just a few days which are full of trouble. That's the truth. And don't get me wrong here, I'm having a happy Mother's Day. I'm not a mother, but I'm enjoying having today being a Mother's Day. And I enjoy life, and there's so much joy and satisfaction and contentment that God gives us. It's a gift from Him. But I do want to be real. And the truth is that in this life, in this world, there are troubles, there are trials, there are struggles that we face, and those struggles are constant. Adam and Eve, they sinned in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, and since that time, there has been a curse, and that curse has affected us in every area. Physically, that curse has caused us to have disease and sickness and cancer and pain and broken bones and weakness and death. That's called adversity. And because of the curse of sin, there's been spiritual problems. Foolish decisions are made, arguments, financial hardship, family issues, you know, just problems between in the midst of the family, marriage problems. There is adversity in this world that we live in. But today, I want to focus on a truth that doesn't just make things okay, it makes it where we can say it's good. And that is this wonderful truth that we see in this phrase. It's a glorious truth. And that truth, of course, is found in this verse, which you are in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. My clicker, it won't work, but that's okay. I don't really need it. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. I'll read it. It's up here on the screen for you. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." You know, as you look at this verse, and I emphasized it as I wrote it on your screen. You can go back to the screen. We'll just keep up this screen, Brother TJ. This verse, the only way it has really any meaning, any satisfaction, are those words, "God is faithful." If you remove that phrase, "God is faithful," that verse really doesn't have anything to say. But because of that three-word phrase, that verse has a lot of meaning. And I would say it's one of the most encouraging and hope-filled verses in Scripture. There are a lot of verses like that, but this one is one of, personally, my top 10. That there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He's a faithful God, and He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. I've entitled this message, "God is Faithful," and we're just going to have the screen up here, and I want you to keep on focusing on this three-word phrase, "God is faithful." He's a faithful God. First of all, I want to make sure that we understand what this verse is saying, and then we're going to apply it to our everyday life and decisions and what goes on. First of all, we see the first phrase there, "there hath no temptation." And it's important that we really understand, what's that phrase talking about? What's that word, temptation? Temptation, in my usual understanding, and even if you look it up in the dictionary, the normal idea of temptation is somebody is trying to trick us to do what's wrong. That's the idea of temptation here in our English idea. A synonym of temptation would be to entice or to seduce. Well, I looked up the Greek word behind the word temptation here, and the Greek word is parasmos. And I'm not a big Greek student here, but this word, this Greek word, is used 21 times in Scripture. And it's often used, and it's translated temptation, but in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, it's translated try or trial. And when you look at the literal idea of what that word temptation means, it could mean temptation as in enticing or seducing, but it can also mean any kind of trial, any kind of struggle. And so really the base idea of the word is adversity. Any problem, any struggle, whether it comes from Satan or whether God allows it. Are you following me? Because I think this is important that we understand. Like in the book of Job, all right, Job is being tempted by Satan. Right? And Satan has thrown everything he has at Job to try to get Job to turn away from God. But God allows it. God allows it. And this is why it's so important that even in our words, that we're careful with our words, because, you know, God doesn't tempt us. He's not trying to entice us or seduce us. Satan, he's trying to trick us. He's trying to entice and seduce us. But God, He does allow suffering because He wants to purge us. He wants to make us fruitful. And my point is, and I'm trying to really emphasize it because I want us to remember it, that when we see this verse, the idea here, the Greek idea is, it's any problem, any struggle, any adversity, whether it's temptation or trial. There's no temptation or trial is the idea. Any adversity, any struggle, any problem. Guess what?
God is faithful no matter what. Let me just say it one different way, perhaps. If you are facing a struggle or a problem in your life because of your sin, of your past sin, and you know there's a connection, I'm facing this because of my foolish decisions in the past. Anybody, y'all know what I'm talking about? Guess what? God is faithful. He's still faithful. And maybe you're facing just maybe consequences of the sin of others. I mean, we're all sinners, don't get me wrong, but you're facing a difficulty because of maybe your parents' sin or somebody else around you, their sin, right? A drunk driver hits you. You weren't drunk, right? But somebody hits you. They affected your life. Guess what? This verse is for you. God is faithful. You follow me? No matter what, no matter what adversity or struggle has come upon you, guess what? The truth is still the truth, and that truth is that God is faithful. Now let's go to the next phrase. We're just meditating on this verse for just a moment. There's no temptation, trial, adversity, struggle, problem taken you that comes upon you, but such as is common to man. Anybody ever faced a struggle and you kind of in the darkness of your mind and heart at that time, you thought, man, I'm the only one facing this problem. Anybody? I want to admit that you thought that. Yeah, I thought that. The truth is, though, as Ecclesiastes put it, there's nothing new under the sun. And I'm not trying to belittle your problem. And I would say that every problem and every century has a little new flavor mixed in. But the bulk of it, you know, the idea, the main problem of it, it's a good time to turn off your phones, right? Turn off those phones. All right. But the idea, such as common to man, means that other people have faced those specific temptations, those specific trials. And you know what? God was faithful to them. And as God has been faithful to thousands and millions of people before you, God is faithful to you. And God will continue to be faithful no matter what you are facing. And you say, well, you don't understand my problem. I don't. You're right. But God does. He knows specifically what's going on in your life. And there is a way to escape. That's what comes up, right? There's a way to escape. You can live in obedience. You can have victory. It's possible. Not because of you. Not because of your brains or your wisdom or your strength. It's because what? God is faithful. Can we say that? It's because God is faithful. That's what the verse says. It's the truth. And sometimes it's hard to really believe that truth. I mean, we've heard it. Most of us have heard it so often. But when you're in the midst of something really hard, it's like there are clouds over your life, you can't see the sun, and it's hard, and you feel, notice I said the word feel, we feel alone. And I want to tell you that those feelings are not reality. Our feelings sometimes lie to us. And the truth is, according to God's word, God is faithful. All right, there's no temptation, no adversity, no struggle that comes upon you such as common to man. Other people have faced tough stuff, and God has been faithful. So let's look at one more, this phrase right here, God is faithful. What do I mean? What does Scripture mean when it says that God is faithful? It means that, of course, God is trustworthy, all right, or worthy of trust. In other words, you can depend upon God. God will never leave you or forsake you. God answers prayer. He promises to Christians, those of you who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He does answer prayer. Now, no is an answer, right? And yes is an answer, all right? And wait is an answer. But God, He does. He promises. He answers prayer. God gives strength in your time of need. I love that verse in Hebrews. It says, in your time of need, God will give grace and strength. God is your shepherd. Psalm 23, remember, the Lord is my shepherd. God does provide for you. He protects your soul. God loves you. God cares about your needs. God is not just a spectator upon your life. God is a participator in your life. He cares. He participates. We all know people. And please, don't like bump anyone around you when I say this. We all know people who are not dependable, right? We all know people. It's like you ask them to do something, they say, yes, I'll do it at this time. And you're like, they never showed up. A week later, I'm waiting for them, and they still aren't there. Okay, we all know people, right, to be honest, that are just not dependable. Now, we all know people as well that are very dependable. I had the blessing of having parents that were very dependable. My dad, he was always right on time. He was very dependable. But you know what? The best, most dependable, most faithful, most trustworthy person will fail. either due to personal character issues or due just to life issues. But you know what? When I say to you, when I read this verse to you, when we look at this phrase, God is faithful, what we're saying is there is never an exception. He's not limited by any problems. Even our own sin and issues. God is not limited by anything. He's the sovereign God. He's good. He's in control. God is faithful 100% of the time. Now, I don't want anybody, though, to misunderstand me what I'm not saying. God's ways are not our ways. Y'all with me? His ways are not our ways. And sometimes he does allow us to walk through hard times. Because sometimes I think maybe we get the false idea that, well, God is faithful, so I'm not going to have hard times. Wake up! Okay, that's not reality. And we see person after person in Scripture that faces a lot of hard times. But you know what we see? That right there with them every step of the way, God is faithful. He's in control. So God's ways are not our ways. And sometimes maybe we would make different decisions, all right? But he's right. That's what it comes down to. This is called absolute truth. God is faithful. That's what the Word of God says. And we are reminded, just can I say this, by the experience of life over and over again. It's what we're singing this morning as a choir. God's been faithful. And can I say this? I'm going to say this again, that even when we're not faithful, God is still faithful. And when we fall short, God doesn't fall short. He's just faithful. It's like the old day, you know what? Sometimes we don't love God with all of our heart. I mean, I think most of us would say we're trying, we want to love God with all of our heart, but sometimes, I say often, we fall short. But guess what? God still loves you. He still loves you. And God is faithful. That's just who he is. It's not just something that he does. It's like he doesn't have DNA, but it's in his DNA. Are you following me? It's just who he is. It's his character. He's the faithful God. Faithful is God. He's the definition. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to go up here, and I want to remind you, as we look at adversity, how do we handle it? Every single person in this room, I mean, if you're being truthful, you have faced trials. You have faced problems. You have faced difficulties. Every single person. In fact, you either have faced a problem and you're just coming out of it, or you're in the middle of a struggle, adversity, or I'm not trying to be melancholy this morning, but it's coming. All right? There's a problem, a struggle, or adversity coming. It's just the reality of life. You know why? Because overall, we're under the curse of sin, and then we ourselves make foolish decisions, right? And so there will be adversity. There will be struggles. That's what Job says. But God is faithful. How do we handle those adversities? Every single one of us. We all have different personalities. We all have different backgrounds. We all perceive things a little bit differently. And some of us, we handle problems differently. Some of us, if there's a problem that comes into our life, we're like, I can overcome this problem. Some of us, there's a problem in your life, you're like, oh, I'm just going to hide in the sand. All right, we're all different. Our personalities are different. Now, this is an amazing context that we have here, 1 Corinthians 10:13, but I just want to hit verse 12 real quick as we look at this idea of how do we handle adversity? How do we handle problems and temptations and trials and struggles, just hard stuff that we face? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, now verse 12. Wherefore, take heed here, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And what we're saying here, and what this verse is saying, don't lean on yourself. Don't lean on yourself. So you're facing a trial. You're like, I got wisdom. I got the strength. I got the resources. I can get through this. Wrong. Don't lean upon yourself. That's not the right place to lean on. Because you know what? We're finite. And maybe, you know, we can beat one trial, but there's going to be a trial that will break us. Are you following me? It's coming. And we can't handle it. And sometimes we can become so, we're proud people and we're self-dependent. And we're like, no, I can handle it. I'm okay. And here's the warning. Take heed lest you fall. Don't lean upon yourself. Now skip down to verse 14 where it says, wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. And what we have here is just a little hint. Don't lean upon yourself. Also, as you face adversity, don't lean upon those false gods. And what are some gods that we have in this world? Come on, help me out. What are some gods that we have in this world? Money! I knew someone was going to say it. How many of y'all like money? Okay, we all like, I like money. I did not say love, all right? Hopefully I don't love money, right? But it is a god of this world. And sometimes, what do? We lean on money. Or we lean on some false god. It's counterfeit. It's not worth nothing. It's like an inflatable little object that once you poke it, it goes flat, right? It doesn't have substance. So don't lean upon yourself. That's foolish. Don't lean upon false gods. That's foolish. And now we're back here to verse 13. You see me? I'm circling here. Back to verse 13. There is no temptation. There's no trial, adversity, or problem, or struggle that you face, but such as common to man. Other people have faced it. And guess what? God, the true God, the Yahweh God, He is faithful. He's dependable. He's trustworthy. Now, what I love in Scripture is that God just doesn't give us a verse. He just doesn't give us a phrase. You know, He could have handed us 1 Corinthians, just the book, and it had three words in 1 Corinthians. It says, God is faithful. He could have done that. But you know what He does? He gives us examples. I love examples. In the Old Testament specifically, now the New Testament has lots of examples too, but the Old Testament gives us lots of examples of people who have faced struggles, temptations, and trials, and where we see personally that God is faithful. So just for a few minutes, we're going to look at a few examples in Scripture. And you can go back and read this, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to quickly tell the story. The first one, you got to start here, I feel like, or you got to end here. I'm going to start here. You ever heard of a guy named Job, right? Job is told in the book of Job. It looks like Job, but it's Job. And Job is an amazing story. And you can really read the first chapter, really tells us a book of the story. But make sure when you read the first chapter that you read the last two chapters of the book of Job as well. But in this amazingly brief time, Job lost his enormous wealth. I mean, he was wealthy, like big time wealthy, all right? He didn't just have money in the bank, he had banks. He owned banks, would be the idea. I mean, he was like Bill Gates wealthy. Job lost his enormous wealth. He buried his children. 7 sons and 3 daughters. One day, a windstorm destroyed the house, and they were gone. They were dead. Can you imagine that? 10 children gone, dead. Wow. He sat in misery, scraping himself because he had boils, it says in the Bible, from head to toe. Now, about 3 weeks ago, and this, I feel like a wimp when I tell you the story, but 3 weeks ago, I got poison ivy. I used to not get poison ivy. I guess now I do. All right? Poison ivy? I hate it. How many of y'all like poison ivy? All right. Okay, good. You're with me. Okay, so I got poison ivy, and it just got on my hand. It about drove me nuts, especially at night. You know, it just, I can't imagine having poison ivy over my whole body. That would be horrible. Boils are much worse. And Job is facing all of this. Now, we know the big picture. You know, Satan is tempting him. God is allowing this to purge Job. And yet, this is a powerful verse. Job chapter 13 and verse 15. It says in Job 13, 15, though he slay me, he's talking about God, yet will I trust in him. And the visual image that I have in my mind of even if God, the true God, comes with the sword and kills me, I'm still going to trust God. And at the end of the book of Job, after everything that Job faces, all of these trials and temptations and problems, all 10 of his children died. It's major stuff here. God reminds Job, hey Job, I'm in control and I'm good. I'm faithful. You can trust me. And in Job 42:10, it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. I love that turn. It's like he just turned all around. Only God can do something like that. When he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So he had twice as much wealth. Now he only, again, is given 7 sons and 3 daughters because, you know, those were eternal. Those children were eternal. But God shows his faithfulness to Job. Mothers, I don't know your story. And perhaps today you are suffering some pretty serious trials. And it's deep, and maybe you have a smile, a pleasant expression on your face, but down deep, it's like you are breaking apart. I want to remind you of a man named Job who faced a lot of trials, and guess what? God proved himself. He showed himself that he was faithful. And no matter what you're facing, I remind you, I'm not belittling your situation at all. Please hear me. I'm just reminding you of the magnificence of our God. God is faithful. He's trustworthy. You can depend upon him. He walks with you. And if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, he is your faithful friend. He is your Savior. And no matter what, you can lean on this truth. God is faithful. There's another guy. I've heard a guy named Joseph. I'm using familiar stories on purpose. Joseph lived in a dysfunctional family. Now, sometimes we use that word dysfunctional kind of like in jest, like, whoa, you're dysfunctional, right? But when we say dysfunctional and when we're talking about Joseph's family, we mean it. All right, if you know about this, this is a dysfunctional family. First of all, in this household, there are two mothers who are sisters and who despise each other. And then there are two, I'm going to call them surrogate mothers, and everyone has children, and they're all half-siblings. Can you all see that this would be a problem? Okay, well, we see it. Like, we read about it. There's a lot of problems, and this is the story found in Genesis chapter 37 all the way to 50. And this is dysfunctional. And there's so much bitterness and jealousy and hatred. And so all this jealousy between the mothers, it kind of spills over into the children. And the children have so much jealousy and hatred and bitterness that there comes a time when they say, you see that Joseph guy? He's coming. He's 17 years old. We're going to kill him. Well, then they decide, you know what? Let's not kill him. What do we get out of that? Let's sell him. We're going to make some money off of him. And they sell him into slavery. Joseph is 17 years old. It wasn't fun to be a slave. And then as we continue the story of Joseph, of course, we hear that not only was he sold into slavery, then he was falsely accused. He was then thrown into jail falsely. Then he was forgotten. And we don't really see anything what we would term as good until age 30. So from 17 to 30, which, how long is that, folks? 13 years. Y'all are smart. All right. For 13 years, that's over a decade. It's tough. Talk about trials. Anybody had a 13-year trial? Some of you have. I'm talking about a long time of hardship, a long time of adversity. But what I love is Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. And Joseph is talking to his brothers, and he says, but as for you, you brothers, you know, you sold me into slavery, you thought evil against me. I love this part. But God meant it unto good, that to bring to pass as is this day to save much people alive. You know what God was saying? You know, brothers, God was in control. You weren't. You thought you were, but you weren't. And God is good. I mean, look at how it's all turned out here. He becomes the second most powerful person in Egypt. He's able ultimately to save his family from a lot of problems. Says God is in control. He's good. He's faithful. He is worthy of my trust. He's a trustworthy God. Mothers, today, perhaps you are facing some family problems. And maybe even right now in your heart, you're looking forward to maybe a good get-together. But you know, and maybe you're even praying, and maybe you've already prayed this. Please, Lord, please help all my family to get along on this day. I know that happens in some families, right? It's like, please help us just to get along for one day. It's a wonderful day, but you know, sometimes there's family problems, like Joseph, family problems. I want to remind you, no matter what, that God is faithful and you can lean upon him. You can trust him. He is worthy of your trust no matter what the situation is. Here's another example. Naomi and Ruth. This is the story found in the book of Ruth. Naomi's husband dies and her sons die, all within about 10 years. That's hard, right? That's hard. And Naomi, which this is often what happens when you are in the middle of a really tough trial. Sadly, this isn't what should happen, but often you become bitter. So you start asking, why, God? Why me? Why now? Why all this? Why all this pain? Why do I have to experience this? Why is not a good question, but often we are plagued with the why question. And Naomi is just consumed with, why, God? And she's bitter. In fact, she even tells some of her people who know have known her for a long time, she says, don't call me Naomi, that's pleasant. Call me Mara, bitter. Just call me bitter, because I'm bitter. God's been mean to me, is really the idea that she was saying. But you know what? God in his faithfulness, and I think this is a good point here. God in his faithfulness, he sent a friend to Naomi. You know who that friend was? It was a lady named Ruth, who happened to be her daughter-in-law. He sent a friend, and this friend, she had experienced the death of a husband, but she wasn't bitter. In fact, she was loyal. She was loyal to Naomi, and she was loyal to God. And it's just so neat. And this is what God can do. They travel back to where they came from. And it just so happens, it says in the Bible, it just so happens that Ruth was picking up some, you know, food from the ground, some grain to provide for her and her mother-in-law. And she just so happened to be in the field of Boaz. And long story short, Boaz was a godly man. He married Ruth. They had a child. And at the end, Naomi says, basically, God's been good to me. No matter what you have lost, and some of you, someone who you loved, maybe they died, there's been some pain and adversity. I want to remind you, don't turn in bitterness away from the Lord. Turn to the Lord and know this truth, that God is faithful. And you know what I love about this story? Is that even though Naomi had responded to all to the death in her house with bitterness, that God was still faithful to her. Even though she was disobedient, not doing what was right, God was still faithful. And I want to remind you that God's a faithful God. Even when we respond horrifically to adversity, God is faithful. And he's good. And he is in control. And you can trust him. You can trust him. And then there's Sarah, Abraham and Sarah. She, the Bible says this, don't get after me. The Bible says she was old, okay? All right, she was old, then it was beyond the age that was possible for her to have a child. And she laughed. When a messenger from God said, you're going to have a child, she laughed in doubt and unbelief. Aren't you so thankful that God is still faithful even when we doubt him? Even when we turn away from him, God is still faithful. He's still a trustworthy God. And of course, God was the God of the impossible in that situation. And God blessed Sarah with the child. And then we have this mother named Rahab. This is my last example. Rahab was a harlot. She was a prostitute. And there came a time in her life, she lived in the city of Jericho, when she was confronted with the reality that there was a true God. And she chose to put her faith and trust in the true God. And she and her family were the only ones that escaped Jericho alive. I'm just reminded, when I look at the life of Rahab, I'm reminded that God is faithful no matter what your past is. Mothers, no matter what your past is, God is still faithful. And it just so happens, we don't always connect this, that you know who the mother of Boaz was? It was Rahab. She's the mother of Boaz, who then marries Ruth. How does all that happen? Aren't you glad that you and I are not in control? We think we're in control. Sometimes we want to be in control, but God's in control. And he's good, and he's faithful, and he puts all these pieces together. I praise the Lord that God is a faithful God. No matter what, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you will face, no matter what you have faced, turn away from bitterness, turn away from sin, turn away from the darkness of despair and depression, and turn to who God is, because he's faithful. And I know that I've said that phrase, God is faithful, probably 50 times. And I want it to ring in your heart and mind all day long. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. I can trust him. So if you're facing horrible trials like Job did, or family interrelationship difficulties like Joseph did, or loss and bitterness like Naomi, or even no children, a barren womb like Sarah, or a really ugly past like Rahab, I want to remind you that God is faithful and you can turn to him. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we can say the verse, which is really hard when we're in the midst of the trial, because when we're in the midst of hardship and somebody says, well, you know, Romans 8:28 says, for all things work together for good, you're like, it's hard. But the truth is that verse is true. All things work together for good to those who love God. Let's say this verse together. Everyone together. There hath no temptation. What? Oh, hold on. Temptation, trial, adversity, struggle, any difficulty. I won't stop you again. We're going to start over again. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Amen. God is a faithful God. I want to ask everybody to stand quietly to your feet.